We're so thankful for the life and the ministry of Dr. Bob Jones III, who for over 3 decades served here as our president, and for the last decade has served as our chancellor, who represents the university around the world as an ambassador and is also a major help to me personally as an advisor. And so I'm so thankful that Dr. Bob Jones III can speak to us this morning. Would you give him your undivided attention?
Well, thank you, Dr. Pettit. Good morning. And would you please open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 24. 2 Chronicles 24. I love the Old Testament. I preach from it a lot. Its lessons are as fresh and new as the day the Holy Spirit gave them. They're applicable for us today. The God of the Old Testament spoke through the prophets, Hebrews tells us, and in these latter days, in this present time, through His Son. So we need to pay careful heed to the Old Testament and understand that it is not just history. It is not just poetry. It is for us the very breath of God. Before we get to this message, I want to share something that I think is quite applicable for each of you BJU students. 3 Sundays ago in church, I was speaking afterwards to Richard Estelle, 2014 criminal justice graduate from BJU. He was back visiting. He told me that he had been accepted and was now a policeman on the Denver, Colorado police force. I said, "How many applicants were there for this job?" He said, 3,000. I said, "How many openings were there?" He said, 50. Well, I said, "Richard, apart from the providential will of God, which is really the reason you were there, what, from a human point of view, do you think gave you the edge over the other applicants?" Here's what he said. "I took Spanish for a major at BJU." When he said that, I thought, well, that's an acquired skill. I hope you are acquiring skills apart from your major that will be helpful to you in the road of life ahead, for whatever it is God is going to, you feel God is going to lead you to do. Secondly, he said, I had a clean history. That's a grace gift. He had godly parents, was raised in a good church, came to a Christian university, had great faculty, and God graced him with a clean life. Police forces are hard up today to find people with a drug history or an alcohol history or a misdemeanor or an arrest history. God had given him a wonderful Christian heritage that resulted in a clean life. That's a grace gift. And thirdly, he said, "I tested well." That's an educational bonus that he got. It's the result of a caring faculty. He mentioned Dr. Mike Wilkie, his mentor in particular. He said, "He taught me how to take the tests that police forces are requiring of their applicants, and I was well prepared. I tested well." I share that with you because I want you to learn to live here with the outcome post-graduation in view. Every day, if you will keep the outcome of your 4 years here in view, God will impress on your heart and lead you to make wise choices about things you do, about courses you study, about the seriousness of life ahead, and will lead you to depend on God to show you the path of life during the 4 years that you're here. Live with the outcome in view, not just the day in view, but the future that this day will point you to. I've entitled this message this morning, "Buy In or Bomb Out." Buy in or bomb out. Last week we had a wonderful message from Dr. Pettit about what BJU is all about, and how you can succeed in your experience here. One of the things he said is, buy in. I hope you got that. It was toward the end of his message. Buy in. I'm going to preach to you this morning from the Old Testament about a 40-year reign of a king named Joash who never bought in. And boy, did he bomb out. We have to hurry. There are lots of names. Please listen carefully. The names are confusing. I don't expect you to get them all. I hope I can get them all. They're hard names. They sound alike, many of them. But I've got to give you a little history, starting with the 22nd chapter, 23rd chapter, 24th. We're going to look at the 24th chapter, but I have to go back to tell you how we get there. But before I tell you that, I want to ask you something. How do you know if the faith you say you espouse is your faith or merely that of your parents, your pastor, your teachers? There are multitudes of people who have been members at some point in their life of good churches. They had good pastors. They went to good camps as teenagers. They participated in mission trips. They went to Christian colleges because that was the thing to do at their time of life, like you. They really enjoyed it. They were caught up in the fervor of it. But down the road of life, they shifted to other influences that were completely at variance with the faith they said they professed. Completely at variance with their previous polarities, and many of them even became hateful toward those who pointed them heavenward. The pathway of life is littered by people like that. And this was the kind of man Joash, the king of Judah, was. But before we get to him, I want to propose that some of you may be one of those tragedies like those many church members before you. You may be one of those tragedies about to happen. And you might even be able, if you're honest with yourself, to predict that it's about to happen at some point in the future. If you will be honest to contemplate your present longings of your heart. John Phillips, the wonderful commentator, in his book about Psalm 84:2, quoted one of the Puritan writers who observed, quote, that the desires of the heart are the best proofs, one of the best proofs of our salvation. If a man wishes to know whether or not he is really a child of God, he can soon find out by putting his finger on the pulse of his desires. For we cannot counterfeit our longings. We can counterfeit the things we say. We can easily pick up a smattering of the language of Canaan and say the right things. We can counterfeit the things we do. A good action can be done out of a sense of discipline or duty without our hearts being in it at all. But we cannot counterfeit the things we want. We look today at a man, Joash the king, who did right for God for 40 years, but never was right with God. Maybe your parents didn't name you Joash. But considering your likeness to him, it might be a more fitting name for some of you. Let's tell the story very quickly. Let's talk about his parentage. He was the son of Ahaziah, whose father Jehoram married Athaliah. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahaziah, the father of Joash, ruled 1 year over Judah and he died. Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, upon the king's death, in a most inexplicable and bloody way. Can't even imagine it. I don't think you can either. She had all of her progeny, all of her grandchildren murdered so she could sit on the throne of Judah in the place of her son Ahaziah. Joash alone survived the massacre because his aunt, Jehosheba, the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest of Judah, rescued him in his infancy, and Jehoiada and Jehosheba became his surrogate parents. After 6 years on the throne of Judah, there was an insurrection arranged by Jehoiada against Athaliah, and she was murdered. She was deposed and put to death. And I want you to understand that in chapter 24, Joash's 40 years of life are synopsized by two things. One of them, they're not found in this chapter, but they're found in the preceding chapters. One of them, when he was just 7 years old, had just begun his reign. Jehoiada the high priest got the people together and they tore down the temple of Baal, which Athaliah had constructed. And they put all of the priests of Baal to death. Josiah was the king, but he couldn't do that. He was only 7 years old, but with his approval, Jehoiada, his mentor, his surrogate father, accomplished that. Then when Joash was about 20, he himself decided to repair all the damage that Athaliah and her descendants had done to the temple of God in Jerusalem. They had defaced it. They had destroyed many of the temple vessels. And he repaired all of that on his own. A good thing. It looked like his heart was really in it, didn't it? But these are the only two actions in all of 40 years of reign that God the Holy Spirit chose to tell us about King Joash's reign. Now I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 24 with me for the rest of the story. Look at verse 2. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. 40 years. As long as his surrogate father and his spiritual mentor lived, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Fast forward now 40 years to the end of the story. And look at 2 Chronicles 24, 17 and 18. It says that at Jehoiada's death came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. That is, they flattered him. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Immediately after the prop, Jehoiada the high priest died, Joash came under the influence of idolaters. They had been idolaters all these years in their hearts, but they had to say the right words and follow the leadership of Joash under the influence of Jehoiada, because they had no choice if they wanted to keep their positions. And after what they did, after their turning, Joash and these rulers turned to the pagan gods from the Lord God, I want you to look at the mercy of God, the favor of Jehovah toward them. Verse 19 of 2 Chronicles 24, yet, God sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they, the idolaters, including Joash, would not hear. Not only would they not hear, But look what they did to these prophets, one of whom was a man named Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the high priest, and therefore the brother of Joash. Look what he did to his own brother, the priest, who brought the message of God, calling for repentance, expressing the judgment of God upon them if they did not repent. And look at what it says in 2 Chronicles 24, 20 and through 22. Zechariah's message unto them was this: Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? You cannot prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash, the king, remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And after they resisted the mercy of God that was offered, killed his prophets. Verse 25 tells us that Joash died in ignominy when, quote, his own servants conspired against him for the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and they slew him, Joash, on his bed. Now that's the story. That's the background. Very hurried. Hope you got some of it at least. Now I want to deconstruct it for us in closing, because here's where all of this touches the rubber of our lives. We need to deconstruct what we just heard for our own admonition. Here it is. Josiah's allegiance belonged to a man of God, but not to God himself. Like many of you, I thank God for my Christian parents and for my godly teachers that I had in this place, and that for the godly pastors I've set under the ministry of. I thank God for them. But my allegiance is to them because their allegiance was to God. My allegiance is first to God, not to any man. There are people who stay in good in churches that went bad, in colleges that went bad, in other ministries that went bad, because their allegiance is in the wrong place. They continue to support apostasy and unbelief and compromise because their allegiance was to a man, to a denomination, to a program, and not to God himself. Joash's allegiance was to a man of God, but not to God himself. Secondly, he did a good work for God without God in his life. The godly leadership that Jehoiada had upon him produced a moral conformity in Joash, but not a moral heart. Being in an environment of godliness, being under godly preaching, does not itself produce a Godward and moral heart in any of us. We have to buy in. We have to buy in. The rulers and the princes that came under, that put their influence upon him, their idolatrous influence after Jehoiada died, they had appeared to worship God all the 40 years that Joash did, but their heart had never bought in either. I submit to you that ingratitude, we see it here in the story of Joash, who turned against the son of the man who made him what he was. Ingratitude is a component of rotten character. Mark it down. Ingratitude is a component of rotten character. There are many other components of rotten character, but that's one of them. I submit to you also that what you really are will reveal itself at some point in your life. And when it does, it won't be pretty. The murder of Zechariah, his brother, the son of the man he owed everything to, was certainly not pretty. I submit to you that he never bought into the relationship with God that Jehoiada the priest had, though for 40 years he was a leader of the people of God. Men can stand in pulpits and preach for a lifetime and be unconverted men. People can sit in churches under good preaching for their lifetime and never buy into the relationship with God that comes with personal salvation. What this man did from his youth up, he did because he was taught from his youth up. But what he was taught, he never caught. We've had generations of students sit where you sit over the years. They never caught what they were taught. They never bought in. Joash did what he did because he had influential backing. And there would have been personally unpleasant consequences for him if he had not gone along. Once Jehoiada died, he embraced idolatry because the new influences he was surrounded with embraced idolatry. You can sit here, never buy in. You can sit in a good church, never buy in. You can sing the songs. You can recite the verses. You can get caught up in the activities and the fervor. But once you leave that, you'll buy in just as wholeheartedly to the new influences and to their expectations and their lingo and their practices. You'll go along with that just as heartily as you did when you merely went along and never bought in to the message of God and to the God of the message. Joash's conscience belonged to others in whatever circumstance of life he might be. Once your heart belongs to God, you will follow what is right, though everybody around you opposes what is right. And you will reject what is wrong, though everybody around you embraces what is wrong. So in conclusion, I just ask you this. What will you be when the Christian people who made you what you are by their influence upon you are no longer around you? What will you be when you marry and go your way? When you graduate and go your way? When you move away from your family and your home church where you were grounded? What will you be then? Will you be what Joash revealed he was all along when Jehoiada was no longer there? There are some of you who sit here and need to be honest with yourself about whether you resemble this man or not. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to close your eyes for a moment. We're going to pray. And there's something I want you to ask yourself before we pray and are dismissed. Does the spiritual strength of your life depend on the props who are around you? Or is the spiritual strength of your life from within, because the life of Christ is within and alive, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Are you a good parrot of other people's beliefs, a good follower of their practices? Or have you bought in to the Bible way. Here's the question I'd like you to ask yourself. And we're going to be quiet for a moment while you ask yourself this question. The next time I look in a mirror, will I be looking at somebody named Joash? Later today, when I look in a mirror, will I be looking at somebody named Joash? Dear Lord God, forbid that we should come and sit here as we sit so often and hear the words and can even recite them to others without the truth owning us or us owning the truth, without our ever buying in. Lord, allow the message of Joash to grip some hearts today, to bring them to Christ, to the reality of their personal relationship with you, which they don't have, but they profess they have. Before they make a mess of their life and go into eternal ruin, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.